Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. And you are watching this on the iWatchRadio.com network. Now you can see what we are talking about tonight. We have a special guest.
Yes, Travis Cook. Travis Cook in the house.
Tonight we have a special guest. His name is Travis Cook, who has come to the Q Show Kingdom to try and wield the heaviest sword of them all. The sword of conservative sanity. It's not possible. That's why I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. We're also going to talk about SOPA and the Wikipedia thing, because I don't think it changed a damn thing today. It was just like Occupy Wall Street. And finally,
it was less smelly than Occupy Wall Street.
Potential. And finally, we're going to hear from our listeners in the email bag. Now, one thing we definitely want to make sure that we do before every show starts, and I mean every single show starts, is professionally, and I mean in the most professional way we possibly can, turn our cell phone ringers completely off. I'm gonna put it right here on the desk, right there, just so that you guys know it got turned off. Okay, before we get into it too deep and, you know, start our little section here, Mark Wahlberg, Travis.
Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch.
Marky's Mark Funkies.
Good vibrations.
Like Sunkissed. Make you want to know who brung this.
I'm ashamed I remember that song.
Okay. He claims he would have been a badass on 9/11. In an interview that he did with Men's Journal, when asked about how he was originally booked on one of the hijacked flights on 9/11, Wahlberg stated this. So he was booked, changed his flight, ended up not going, along with every single other famous person in Hollywood always says they were booked on 9/11, but they just barely got out of it. Okay. He said, if I was on that plane with my kids, it would have went down like this. There would have been a lot of blood in that first class cabin, and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely. Don't worry. Travis, before I have anything to say about this.
Okay.
Do you have anything you'd like to chime in with?
In terms of Mark Wahlberg, I'm...
Period.
I'm just glad that Mark Wahlberg has America's back. I didn't know that he was the badass that he said he was, but, you know, I'm glad to see that he would have protected us all on 9/11. And in a similar vein, I would just like to mention that had I ever gotten in the ring with Mike Tyson, I would have knocked him out. So, you know,
you are conservative.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
You are a true conservative, sir. Very conservative in the fact that you didn't do anything. Good job. All right, now.
He cut me my asking price.
That's... Nice. Actually, Marky Mark, I'll tell you what you would have actually been done. I'll tell you what he would have actually done.
You can see into the past and see what Mark Wahlberg would have done.
He would have sat there in first class reading his script for the Planet of the Apes movie like he did.
They had a script for that?
Shaking his head up and down while telling the man with the knife that he's going to make a movie. He's going to make movie history with this one. Oh, yeah. I guarantee he would have been like this. It would have been like this. You see this right here? You see this script right here? Say hi to your moms for me. You see this? The script? Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston. He did that back in the 60s, 70s stuff. I wasn't even born when it was made. I'm gonna do it. And it's gonna make movie history. That's what's gonna happen. So why don't you put that knife down and we'll move on with our day. That's what it would have happened. First off, that was quality acting right there.
Well, that
everyone
was something.
Knows that that was.
That was the epitome of thespianism right there, I must say. But I got to think, if we really want to make the sky safer, the airplane safer, and so forth
safer.
From terrorism, forget the U.S. Marshals. They do a great job, but you know what you do?
Yes.
You put Mark Wahlberg and Keanu Reeves on every single domestic and international flight, and you let them take care of the job.
Every single
one of them.
That's a lot.
You clone them if you have to.
That's a lot. I'm adjusting my microphone because here's the thing. Once we start in on this political stuff, I don't want there to be any excuses whatsoever for why you got trounced.
I got trounced.
On TV.
Oh,
in
boy.
Front of everyone. Did you see our skyline, boy. By the way? Look at my skyline.
That is a beautiful skyline.
I created that skyline.
You created that skyline.
Yes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about Travis. Travis Cook is well, first off, I met Travis through professional wrestling. A lot of people out there don't know that I used to be a professional wrestler. And so when you wrestle in the St. Louis wrestling scene, you meet a lot of people. And Travis, he happens to be one of the best managers that actually has ever stepped foot in this entire town.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Kiss my ass. Doesn't care what you think. It's the truth. The guy's very talented. But he has a flaw, just like most managers do. For Mr. Fuji, it was he would always like give his hand away whenever he got screwed over by someone. He would have to throw salt in their eyes. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, that was ceremonial salt. That was part of his culture.
It was a ceremonial salt, but it was a flaw. It was a flaw.
He won a lot of matches with that flaw.
Your flaw, Travis Cook, is the fact that you host your own little podcast video show. What's it called?
I do have a video blog called America's Evil Genius. You can see it each and every week on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com, put an extra slash in there, and put America's Evil Genius. You'll see all of my in-depth political commentary, the best in the business.
That's right. Okay. Well, let's not go that far.
Said that better if I was paying
just
myself.
Just because you want to steal a CM Punk saying about being the best. I'm the best in the world at what I do. That's what I do.
What do you do?
A lot of people want to know, but unfortunately, I'm not going to tell them, Travis. So let's start off with a few questions for you before we take our first break.
I think it would be good. I get to enlighten someone who's never been exposed to the conservative philosophy. You're going to get educated. A lot of your listeners, your viewers out there who've never been exposed to this, you're going to get educated as well. I feel like I'm really making a difference in America tonight.
Not happening. All right. So by coming on the queue, you realize that you're finally fulfilling a year-long request and challenge to anyone to come on the show from a conservative viewpoint. Okay? You understand
I
me,
was
right?
not aware of that.
Dana Lesh?
One to accept this?
Do you know who Dana Lesh is?
I'm very familiar with Dana Lesh.
Dana Lesh and her husband, they ran away scared, like little girls.
I find that hard to believe.
No. It's the truth. I've put the challenge out to Dana Lesh and her husband, Chris, to come on my show like 10 times.
Dana Lesh would fight a buzzsaw and give it the first two rounds. I find that hard to believe.
I'm dead serious. I will show you the message. Dude, I'm not joking.
Okay.
I'm looking this camera straight on. Look at,
all right.
Look at my face.
All right.
Chris and Dana Lesh, for the 11th time, you are both welcome at any time you would like to man the F up and grow a set to come on my show and discuss politics. Travis,
subtlety was never your strong suit, was it?
Travis tonight has decided that he is going to step up. Now, this is the fifth challenge of the year. We have the ping pong challenge, the Metro Pro Wrestling challenge. I've got a fantasy football challenge going on. Oh, this is the fourth one. Now we have the Dana Lesh, Chris Lesh step up to the mic challenge for 2012. By the time this year is done, I will have like 30 or 40 step up to the mic type challenges that no one, because you're all from St. Louis. The problem is you don't want this man has lived here his whole life.
No, I haven't. No, I can speak in complete sentences, so obviously I have not lived in St. Louis.
I'm sorry. Where are you originally from?
I am originally from southern Missouri, southwest Missouri.
Okay, but you're from Missouri.
The intelligent part of the state of Missouri.
Okay, now hold on. Listen. This man has grown up around Blues hockey his whole life. He doesn't even want to wear their damn jersey. He's got a Boston jersey on. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's a St. Louis thing. I put challenges out there, and they keep running scared. Hey, listen, if you guys would have manned up the right way in the first place, I'm talking about your manning up. If you would have manned up at all in the first place, guess what would have happened, guys? Guess what would have happened? You would have kept Albert Pujols. We got a caller on the line. Caller, what's up? Caller, hello? Evidently a telemarketer. All right, hang up on that one because there is absolutely no one on my line.
Perhaps we could have answered the phone, Domino's Pizza, can I take your order?
It's possible. It's very possible. Anyway, if you guys want to call into the hotline, you can right now, 314-714-4200. The number again is 314-714-4200. Anytime you'd like to call in. All right, I got to take a break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from this break, we're going to ask you a few more questions
to line you up.
And then we are going to get into this political discussion. Because conservatives suck. They're not very good people, and I can't believe that you actually showed up for this. This is going to be...
I am a kind and caring human being.
Fantastic. All right, we'll be back on the queue right after this.
See what we're talking about.
Ah, the good old days. A day where the family would sit around the radio and listen to all their favorite worn-out tunes, cheesy radio host one-liners, and unnecessary minute-by-minute traffic updates. Ah, how the times have changed.
It's time to thank us. Log on to Facebook right now, type in iWatch Radio, click like, and become a fan to find out about upcoming shows, new features, giveaways, and much more. Kiss the golden radio days goodbye at iWatch Radio. Radio.com. The revolution of social media is here. Stream us online at iWatchRadio.com, Facebook, and download our free Android app, iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about.
Hi, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. Once again, having to fool around with my microphone because, well, God, I just don't take this very seriously at all. Let's just put it out there the way it really is. Okay. Tonight on the queue, Travis Cook has been joining us.
Indeed, I have.
Do you Answering go by Travis one. Cook in the ring? I don't even remember.
Actually, I do. I used to have some gimmick name years ago that was horrible.
It was probably better than
will
Travis
will never
Cook.
Be mentioned again.
It's probably better than Travis Cook.
Hey, you know what? I've gotten a lot of notoriety with Travis
What's
Cook.
What's your real name?
My real name is Travis Cook. My wrestling name was Travis Cook. You see what you get with
probably
me.
Should have kept the original one. Let's just be honest.
Dr. Right. Harvard Cornell III will never be spoken of again.
He just was. All right. All right. So, I asked a question. Dana Lesh and her husband, they're scared. Everybody else is scared. Blah, 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 blah. Why are you here? What makes you different from them?
Well, first of all, I'm here because you asked me to be here. I'm a generous person. I wanted to give of my time, and I wanted to help the community like this. So, yes, I wanted to come out here and answer your challenge and so forth. What makes me different from them, I don't know. I don't know them personally. So
now, being a former pro wrestler, do you feel that I could beat up every single member of the Metro Pro roster?
Well, actually, I've seen you wrestle, and I've seen a lot of people in the Metro Pro roster wrestle.
Oh, yes, yes.
I've talented. Seen Mark Sterling, who is one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen, is in great condition.
Nice beard.
Jeremy Wyatt is an excellent wrestler. Michael Strider is as tough as they come. The last time I saw you wrestle, I believe you lost. So my money's in the Metro Pro guys. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good bet because, as I stated earlier, if you're from St. Louis, you probably won't step up to the mic at all. Except for Mark Bland, which means I'd walk in there with four other guys that ain't going to do nothing, and then I'd end up losing because I have to go 5-on-1.
Oh, geez.
That's probably what's going to happen. Okay. By being conservative, I am believing that you are a God-fearing man, sir.
I would say yes. Yeah.
Are you religious?
Yes, I am.
What is your religion that you prefer to practice?
I mean, I'm a Protestant.
You're a Protestant. So you're boring by nature.
You've never been to a Baptist party, so not as
so.
Boring.
Actually, I went to a Baptist youth group for 2.5 years, and I had a good time. It was much better than the Catholic one I went to. I'm just going to be absolutely totally honest with you. But with that said, I have to ask.
All right.
Because this is probably there's a couple questions I have to ask with this one.
Curious. I know you're curious.
I'm very curious. One, do you have any nun on nun porn?
I do not have any nun on nun porn.
Weird for a conservative.
I cannot confirm nor deny the fact that there might be something in my bedroom drawer with a Tammy Faye Baker lookalike, but there's no nun on nun porn, no.
Fair enough.
That's wrong.
Had you caught Jerry Sandusky yourself at Penn State, would you have joined in? Because, I mean, as we all know, the religious aspect, I had my money on Notre Dame. I really thought they were going to come through with the children thing.
Well, so did I. I would have punched Jerry Sandusky out if I would have seen him. And you can rest assured that what Jerry Sandusky did never would have happened at a Southeastern Conference school. They don't roll that way in the South. Penn State, but not in the Southeastern Conference.
I see.
That doesn't happen at Bama.
Well, you understand that Mizzou's going to walk in there and just destroy everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
They're the greatest team ever.
We earned our way into the Southeastern Conference. That's what a lot of people in the Big 12 don't realize. They're jealous of that fact. They're upset about that fact. But we've done so well in that conference over the years that really it was beneath us to stay there. So we left for the better competition and the bigger money.
Listen, I know that you, because of being a conservative, you want to be like Bill O'Reilly and just talk a lot.
Stop. I'm good at it.
No, please, stop. Don't do it no more.
Yesterday I'm going to talk.
Since you are a conservative, how many times today alone have you been to the Drudge Report and slammed your fist against a desk in anger?
I've been to the Drudge Report twice today. I have not slammed my fist to the desk once.
I've been to the Drudge Report zero times.
So you're not informed?
Zero times. Yes, I'm not informed by some guy like Perez Hilton who lives in another state. Got it.
I bet you watched Del Sharpton this afternoon.
I did not. Actually, I didn't. I played Castlevania Order of Ecclesia on the Nintendo DS. It's a video game.
They're still making Castlevania games?
Yeah, they are, and I'm a big Castlevania fan.
What are they up to, like Castlevania 136 now?
You kiss my ass being a conservative. Okay.
Marco?
Is Michelle Bachmann for real?
Yes.
This woman blamed swine flu on the Democratic Party. Okay? She asked for an investigation to find out if reps in Congress were anti-American. And most frightening of all, this is a direct quote, by the way.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Directly
one?
Quoting Michelle Bachmann.
I'm directly quoting Michelle Bachmann,
okay.
Which is amazing, because usually it's John Stewart doing this.
This is radio history, folks.
I think if we give Glenn Beck the numbers, he can solve this whole national debt thing.
He could do a better job than the guy's trying to do it now. I mean, no, actually, I like Michelle Bachmann a lot. She was actually my choice for the nomination after Herman Cain got out. So
Glenn Beck, dude,
I like.
He's not even sane enough for the nut jobs at Fox, bro.
I like a lot about Glenn Beck. Now, I will say this though, in all due criticism, his television show. I hate to say this, Glenn, your television show could get a bit monotonous. I'm sure that's why you're not on there anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's only so many times that we can do the little chalkboard crappy thing.
It did get overdone, I must say. I love what Glenn does, but in terms of entertainment, in terms of drawing ratings for television, it wasn't made.
He should have called Grecian Formula. They would have dropped a lot of sponsorship monies, and it would have been
fake. Oh, wow. Typical fake Hollywood liberal type of person. Let's color the hair. Let's not have gray hair on television. We can't have that. Except Al Sharpton.
He's the one who had gray hair. I don't care about Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton hasn't done nothing in 25 years. I don't care. Means nothing to a guy like me. All I care about is the facts. This is the no spin zone. No tornadoes will come through this zone.
I think you just violated like 7 copyrights right there.
Whatever. Wow. Okay. If we were to reopen the Underground Railroad as a restaurant in the U.S., would you by any chance have a few very well-off friends that would support and fund it while only paying 15% in taxes, but bitching about getting slammed on the tax side because they're rich?
It depends on what's on the menu at the Underground Railroad restaurant. I mean, you know, if it's Tex-Mex, I got some people that would go. You know,
I think it's going to be Cajun Creole. That's what I think.
If it's good, you know, hey, if it's good, if it's an authentic Cajun Creole, like from Louisiana, yeah, I'd go. I never thought about turning it into a restaurant. But, you know.
Travis, how many of your friends were born on third base, but tell everyone that they hit home runs all day long?
Not a single one of them.
That's
we earned everything we have.
Bullcrap. It's ridiculous bullcrap. It's not true. And I can't believe you brought that to the queue.
You asked the question. I just gave you the answer.
Yeah. Great. When you wake up in the morning, do you create a list of all the horrible things you will say in an attempt to make people believe greed is good?
No, I just say them.
Okay.
I don't have to write.
You don't have to write the horrible things down.
When you actually have convictions and believe what you're talking about, you don't have to make a list of it.
I see. And last question. Last question. We're really getting
to good. The pursuit of excellence and the wealth that comes with it. That's what's
we are getting to the nitty gritty of who Travis Cook is and why there are a bunch of conservative nut jobs like him that exist in the United States of America.
Nut job.
Whose fan club are you most proud of being in? Bill O'Reilly's, Rick Santorum's, or Sarah Palin's?
Not that I actually belong to any of them, but if I did...
Oh, no, you got your... It's like Teen Beat.
I would give a slight edge to Sarah Palin. Santorum kind of made me mad Monday night at the debate with a couple of things.
Kidding.
Slightly mad, yeah.
You're kidding me,
yeah,
right?
Rick Santorum.
No, you're kidding me about Sarah Palin, right?
No, I'm not. If you would have asked me this question a week ago, I probably would have said Rick Santorum. But when he came out and said, well, you know, I was for, you know, felons having voting rights, okay, that kind of cheesed me off a little bit.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and then, well, we can't let millionaires collect their Social Security checks. Well, that was their money.
Yeah, it was their money. They should be allowed to collect.
So, you know, that dropped him down just a notch in my book. Bill, this is going to make your head spin. Bill O'Reilly is a little bit too much of a centrist for me.
So, Bill O'Reilly is a bit of a centrist. Now, that makes sense.
He's a little too moderate for me.
Listen, from a guy who's as far right as you are.
Oh, I'm very far right.
To the point where you actually enjoy college football more than any other sport.
I do.
Yes.
I actually enjoy it more than
a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I actually enjoy college football even more than the National Football League.
And everything you're saying makes total sense.
And the BCS has been trashed far too long. It's actually a very good way of determining the national championship.
You're an idiot. I can't believe you said that too, Travis.
It's true. Look at what we had before the BCS.
What about playoff system, man? Before the BCS, yes. BCS was better. Okay, that's...
The BCS is far better than what we had.
Listen, that's like saying Back to the Future 1 is better than Back to the Future 2, but Back to the Future 2 is better than Back to the Future 3. Do you see what I'm saying? We went from crappy to better. Do you see what I'm... Like, anything is better than the last one.
Well, look at it this way. If you look at this year in the BCS, and I know this is probably not what you were intending to talk about.
Oh, I don't mind. It doesn't
In terms of the BCS this year, everybody says there was some sort of controversy. What was the controversy? The best two teams clearly played on the field at the end of the season.
Is that true?
I think it is. I mean,
were there any other undefeated teams?
There was one undefeated team, LSU. And then of the one-loss teams, I think if you compare Alabama's regular season record to Oklahoma State's regular season record, Alabama's was clearly the better regular season.
How about
record.
Those two teams play for a playoff for into the next week to get into the national championship game? Whoever wins that game goes to the national championship game then.
Oh, that's fine when you have a year like this, but what about next year when you have three undefeated
what
teams?
What about 5 years ago when Hawaii was undefeated? Or Tulane?
Why should Hawaii or Tulane play for it? They play St. Mary's.
They worked just as hard. They're a Division I school, and they were undefeated in the years that they were there. Brigham Young had the BYU with their Boise State with their blue field last year. They had just cause.
Not until they lost.
Well, of course. I'm just saying they had just cause. Had they gotten to there to the national championship time with an undefeated record, Boise State would have got bumped.
Well, I've always said about the Boise.
Do you agree?
They would have gotten bumped, and they should have gotten bumped. And here's why. Because I've always said this about the Boise States and the Hawaiis and the Tulanes and all these
you
other
guys. You have spun this entire show away from politics like a typical conservative over to something that has nothing to do with politics.
Oh, college football has everything to do with politics and
life. College football has everything to do with touching little boys in a shower.
Only at Penn State!
No more are we talking about this. Okay.
Only in the Big Ten. Jeez.
Let's get back at Big Ten. That's the state of Illinois, by the way.
Illinois.
They're right. Yeah. The noise, we like to call it. Let's get back into this. Iran. You like Iran?
Can we?
No, we're going to talk serious.
Just nuke them already? I mean, come on.
Why?
Have they
done anything to us?
Well,
I don't think they've done a single thing to us.
Let's see, 1979.
This is like George Bush in the late 80s complaining about Saddam Hussein doing crap to us, and everybody's like, who the hell is Saddam Hussein? We ain't even heard of this guy.
There was that hostage thing back in 79. There was the the aiding and abetting of our enemies in Iraq. And there is, a nuclear freaking weapon they're building. Jeez.
Did you bring up something from 1979 and try to attribute it to 2012?
We call that world history, Mark.
Oh, no, I understand. But I could keep claiming problems with England, too, and claim the Revolutionary War if I really wanted to go that deep.
Well, that's because England is not building a nuclear bomb and trying to attack.
Dude,
the second they employ the Spice Girl over here.
Stop.
I mean,
Iran has probably already had nuclear weapons already.
It's possible.
Over the last 20 years. So for us to sit here and try to play this game of with technology at the level it is in 2012, all these smaller they got cell phones, they got smartphones in Iran and Iraq and all these other countries. They're up to par with us. So they know what's going on and they got money. They got guerrilla money.
Oh, they got money.
They got money and guerrilla money all over the place. So you know that they got somebody in a lab secretly behind the doors creating a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
What's wrong with them having a nuclear weapon?
What are you, Ron Paul?
Stop.
Okay.
No, 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 no. No, whoa. Before you go any further, let me explain that statement.
Okay, go ahead, because I can't wait to hear this.
No. They are their own country. Okay, why did we as citizens of this country come here against England back 200 years ago? Because we didn't like being told what to do in that country.
Yeah.
So we came and we created our own country. And then when people try to come to our country, like the people from England or other people throughout the years, and try to tell the United States what to do, what do we do? What's the first thing we do? We tell them to do what? Go shove it up their ass.
We don't put it in those words.
Of course not. We would
prefer that you assimilate into our culture. That would be nice.
Diplomatically. We do diplomatic things. But at the same point, we tell them to go shove it up their ass. Like when that spy plane went down? Remember over in China a few years ago?
I remember.
George Bush? What do you do? Ran over there. He's like, give us our effing plane back.
As well as
I don't care. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now here's Iran, another country. They got their own borders, their own people, their own everything, their own presidents, their own dictators, whatever you want to call them. And they're like, hey, United States, go shove it up your ass. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with them telling us that? Because we would tell them the same fucking thing.
I don't think
excuse my language.
Yeah, that was very rude. I don't think you can look at it in terms of, you know, well, everybody's got to play by the same rules. The bottom line is our safety security's on the line. So.
No. Everyone plays by the same rules in life. And
when?
Whoa.
Certainly not on the world stage.
The rules state very simply, you got your own country, you got your own army, you play the game how you want to, but you have to be willing to accept the consequences. That's how we played the game in the Civil War. That's how we played it in Revolutionary War, excuse me.
I was about to say.
That's how we played the game.
That's a whole different game over there.
That's the game that we got into in Vietnam. That's the game we dealt with in Iraq and Iran. Now we're talking about Iran. Okay.
We're talking about Iran now.
I mean, same idea. It's the game is your team versus my team. All's fair in love and war. Kind of like the whole urine thing, right? The urine thing that the guy's peeing on the soldiers.
From Iran to urine. Okay.
No, I'm just saying. There's all fair in love and war.
To a degree, that's true. But okay. What I would say is this, is when I'm talking about our issues on the world stage, conflicts of Iran and whatever else, my number one priority when I look at these things is our safety and security. So if you're going to tell me that I should allow another country to
have a choice.
Oh, we have a choice.
No, just like
yeah,
we.
Well, we have a choice.
Just like.
And that choice is going to be acted upon at some point in the next few years.
Just like we told England when they sent a bunch of ships over here in 1700s, you can take your little ships, turn them SOB sideways, right? Lube them up real nice.
You are copying the Rock. Wow.
Yeah, we told him to do that.
Wow. You just copied Dwayne Johnson.
Not quite.
So 15 years ago.
Ooh. Not quite. But yes, I did. And it was 15 years ago. And we're talking about 200 years ago with this whole situation.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that Iran has every right to a nuclear weapon.
Why not?
Is that what I mean?
Okay. Why not?
So then we have
just
every
like right. You're,
does
the United States have nuclear weapons?
Absolutely we do.
Oh, well then it's okay. Everybody's on the same
page. It's okay if we have them.
Sure.
Now here's the thing.
It's okay if they have them.
If they want to go build a nuclear weapon,
right,
they have every right to try to do that.
Sure.
We have every right to try and prevent them from doing that and obstruct them from doing that and keep them from doing that in order to protect our own safety.
This is where
the chips fall where they may.
This is where the game changes. Okay, like I said, I'm not trying to defend terrorism. I'm not trying to defend
Iran.
Could
have fooled me.
You can say whatever you want to say. You can gloss it, spin it however you want. But the truth is I'm not defending those. I'm playing the devil's advocate for the sake of the conversation.
Okay.
And the truth is, and this is legitimately, regardless of whether you like my opinion or not, this is the truth. We had a group of people come towards our country, okay?
Okay.
In the 1700s in England. They came to our shore and tried to tell us what to do in our backyard.
This is true.
Okay. In none of these cases right now are these people coming to our backyard. Now, you're going to say 9/11. Marky Mark was there. He would have stopped everyone.
Wow.
Marky Mark would have stopped everyone. He would have stopped everyone. But one attack on American soil.
Oh, just one attack.
No.
Yeah, just one attack in New York on civilians.
That's
nothing.
You're making it sound like it was Red Dawn. Like they were falling out of the skies. We were all having to run for the creeks with our guns in our hands.
I think it's
brothers in arms.
I think it's
and take people down like it's the Civil War.
It's as close to that as America has ever faced, and God willing, it will be as close to that as
we didn't even get close to that. Okay, that's it. I'm taking a break.
Once civilians are attacked, it's on. No, I'm sorry.
Stop. Hold on. We'll be back on the queue right after this.
I watch radio.
That was close.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
Well, that's just great. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Now you can see what we're talking about.
You've changed things forever.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
This should be real fast.
No.
Your face does.
I watch radio.
Hold on to your butts.
Now. You can see what we're talking about.
To the queue, crazy Travis Cook is here, and he just wants
to
go start wars everywhere. He doesn't care who's gonna fight him. He's one of those typical conservatives. Give him his Bush beer and give him a gun, and he'll just go start some fights wherever he can.
First of all, Bush beer sucks, but I don't want to go around starting wars. I just want to go around finishing them. That's all I care about.
First off, Iran hasn't started a war with us. They haven't.
Oh, boy.
When did Iran start a war with us?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, gee, I don't know.
Joining up with our enemies
and attacking us in Iraq, there's that. There's the funding of terrorism around the world.
The funding of terrorism! I got guys who live in the ghettos by my house that fund domestic terrorism on a week-to-week basis. I don't go and try to get armies and nuclear weapons to take them out either.
It would be funny if you did. I would enjoy it if you did, because that would be hilarious.
It would be fun.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to be honest.
We could film that and put it on Cops.
But let's talk a little bit about these political... We finished off the last break with the Iran thing. I think we've beaten a dead horse. I think we've all proven that you
a
just
dead camel, I think, is
you
really
wanna,
the
you
more
wanna
appropriate
go pee
metaphor.
On terrorist corpses and start wars with other nations, kill more human beings, and move on with life, and I don't want to do that.
Well, if they're going to kill human beings to begin with, maybe we should do it on our terms, as opposed to letting them just do it pell-mell.
A lot of people didn't like the fact that England came over to our shores during the Revolutionary War. I guess those people in those countries don't like the fact that we come over to their country during this war.
And we're not really pleased with them coming over to our country and,
they didn't.
Running freaking planes into buildings.
One building, one time.
Going into military installations in Texas and shooting people up, yeah.
When did that
happen? We don't really like Fort Hood.
Fort Hood was an inside job, basically. It was a guy who was a part of our military who actually had, been, what do they call that, brainwashed? Or had, had training or background in,
He had been in contact with Al-Qaeda folks over there.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was an inside guy. I mean, I'm not claiming Timothy McVeigh in this conversation at all. I'm not bringing that up, but that could be considered,
you just
like,
did.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
You just did.
But I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm not going Fort Hood, Timothy McVeigh. I could come up with a thousand. There's a guy who ran an old lady over in Miami, Florida a couple days ago. Look at that guy. He's trying to take out some of our older citizens.
I think what you're overlooking, and what a lot of people overlook in this, is that this is not a war with a particular country. This is a war with a culture. And that culture does transcend
a lot of different... Screw their cultures!
I agree! Screw their culture!
Stop worrying
about them! Hell yes, screw their culture!
No, just stop worrying about them.
Until they attack us again.
If they do, but they already tried once. They were successful. I'm not denying that it happened. Mm-hmm. They were successful. We shored up the defensive systems that allowed that to happen. And we're done. We move on.
We're done. Can you honestly tell me, do you really believe that we are now at the point where we can prevent that from ever happening again?
You'll never be able to prevent that from ever happening again. You live in a world with too many people on a planet that's too small, and you can't control every piece of influence and communication and everything at all times. It's not possible.
But you can control as many of them as you can.
Sure! It's all about control with the conservatives. That's my problem with you guys, Travis.
Depends on what we're controlling.
You're all about control, man. Stop controlling crap. I guarantee, you know what? I don't even know.
What is it that we control that you would
like to see control? I don't even know. I don't even know.
You don't even know. Because if there's something I control, I'd like someone to tell me.
Give me the keys to it, something.
Stop. Before you go any further, let me finish my statement so you cannot take my word control out of context. All right. I'm not for sure, because I don't have this information in front of me.
Okay.
But I would probably be willing to bet that the SOPA blacklist crap that's going on right now across the United States, the SOPA situation, Stop Online Piracy, I'd be willing to bet that legislation was introduced by Republicans.
I do think that there were some Republicans that introduced that. I don't know, and I certainly haven't heard, that it's any sort of huge bellwether thing for the Republican Party. In fact, at this point, I can honestly tell you that I do not know the opinions of any of the five remaining presidential candidates on that piece of legislation.
Fair enough.
I personally am against it,
SOPA,
but that's my opinion.
Control the internet. Republicans.
Well, I don't know that SOPA was actually designed to control the internet. I think it might end up doing that.
Yes.
But I don't think it was designed to do that. I think it was designed to prevent online piracy and that sort of thing, which there does need to be something put in place to take care of that. But I think it goes a little too far in terms of leaving the door open for censorship and for shutting down entire websites and so forth.
You're a funny guy. You're a funny guy. I do like having
him. I'm good looking, too.
He is.
I see myself on camera, and I am enamored.
Can I feel that?
No.
Is that natural?
What kind of a pervert are you? Don't answer that.
Let me go get my Mumford & Sons CD and some Mocha Lata Chinos. And
gee, that's why the lashes won't come on the show, right there.
iPad. The who? The lashes?
Yeah, that's why they will not
the
come
lash,
on here.
The lashes?
That's why
the
they will not come
right
on
here.
All right. You and your mocha lata lattes and your iPads.
Listen, they've never had that much money in their life. Now they're probably complaining about paying taxes that they've never paid either. All right. Gingrich calls out Romney but falls short on backing his own threats. Did you hear about this?
I've heard a lot of things about Newt Gingrich in the last week.
I'll show you mine now. Show me yours. That was Newt Gingrich's last taunt in his increasingly testy back and forth with Mitt Romney, as Mr. Gingrich on Wednesday promised to release his 2010 tax returns and said he had paid an effective rate of 31%. A day earlier, Mr. Romney disclosed that he had paid a tax rate of about 15%, below what most middle-class families pay. Mr. Romney's admission left unclear, and his campaign did not clarify whether the 15% represented his overall tax burden or simply his federal income taxes. Now, I have an issue with this, and this is why I'm bringing this up to you.
I have one too, but I think it's different than yours. Go ahead.
Newt Gingrich goes on the record, similar to all the crazy birthers that went out of their way to try to make Barack Obama produce a long-form birth certificate.
That's a very odd connection.
Hold on. Listen.
No, go ahead.
Stop talking. Damn it.
I'm on a talk right. show.
I understand.
I'm supposed to talk.
Zip it. Okay. Now. Mr. Gingrich tells Mr. Romney, you need to release your crap, dude, because I want to see it. The rest of the United States wants to see it. He says, you know, typically that happens in April, but I'll play along. So he actually releases the actual tax forms for the IRS. Comes back that he made, pays taxes on 15%. 15%. Newt Gingrich is then rechallenged by Mitt Romney. I did it. It's your turn.
I can talk now?
Yeah, you can. No. It's your turn. That's what Newt Gingrich. It's Mitt Romney.
I can't talk yet.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. Hold on a second. I'll be right back. I love you, though. Hold on. Mitt Romney's like, it's your turn. Newt Gingrich refuses. I know, you're holding back hard. Newt Gingrich refuses, absolutely refuses, to release his actual documents. But he has aides come and tell everybody, listen, we checked in on it, and I pay 31%. Not going to show you the pieces of paper that prove it like Mitt Romney did. But I'm going to just tell you that I pay 31%. You're going to have to deal with that. By the way, there's my new wife right there, and there's my new mistress right over there. Be back after this. That's basically what happened.
Okay, can I talk now?
Yeah, you're good.
I can now speak. Okay.
Roll on.
Let me set this up for you by saying
yes.
This. You've heard of the Anyone But Romney Brigade and the Republican Party, right?
Anyone But Romney Brigade. Yes, I've heard of
okay.
it.
Okay. Now, I am one of the chief lieutenants of that brigade. I want the nominee to be pretty much anybody who's left other than Mitt Romney. I do not like Mitt Romney.
Why?
All right. He's very much a moderate, very much not a social conservative.
Does he feel fake?
But very fake.
Don't you think that it's a moderate style might be the best move?
More fake than a John Cena match. All right?
Okay, now don't you think that a moderate might be the best move since he's going to be going up against somebody who's got a pretty strong
two
moderate
things. First of all, I want to finish one thing about Gingrich later. But in terms of Romney and whether the moderate deal will work, to a lot of us in the Republican Party right now, we're a little less concerned about the short-term goal of winning the election. We're more concerned with the long-term goal of getting our country back on the right track. That's why we're a little bit skittish about a moderate like Mitt Romney. Now, what I was originally going to say is this. I'm not a Mitt Romney supporter.
Okay.
However, for the last week and a half, I have found myself in the very uncomfortable position of actually defending Mitt Romney on some of these things.
And why is that?
For two reasons. First of all, back in Iowa when they had the Iowa caucus and Newt Gingrich came out and did his speech at the end of it, and it was either a meltdown or it was genius.
It might have been some weird combination.
And he basically made it sound like him and Rick Santorum were going to play good cop bad cop on Romney and get him out of the race. I was encouraged. I was loving that. I was thinking, all right, Gingrich is out of this race, but he's going to take Romney out with him. So I'm thinking he's going to nail him on Romney care. He's going to nail him on the social issue, something like that. Oh, no. He nails him on his time at Bain Capital. And I'm left scratching my head thinking, wait a second. You're going after this guy because he was a good businessman? That's the one thing I respected about Mitt Romney. I actually kind of respected that about him. So that came off very hollow to me in that respect. Now he comes out asking for
the tax. That's because they're petty. They're conservatives. They're petty. They have really nothing to discuss.
I think Newt Gingrich is a little more petty than some conservatives are. But nevertheless, we go on to the point where him and Rick Perry are both asking for tax returns. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm a Republican voter.
Yes.
I'm going to be voting in the primary when it comes to Missouri, if this thing's still going on by that
yes.
point. So I am ostensibly the kind of person that they're trying to appeal to. Am I right?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
I would agree.
Now, as a Republican voter whose vote is up for grabs that they're trying to appeal to, why should I care what's on his tax return? Is there something on there I'm supposed to be looking for that's going to make a difference to me?
True, it makes no sense. It's not like it's going to change. It's not like we're going to be all sitting there waiting for him to push the big red button and he goes, but wait a second, pull out those tax returns. Let's take a look at those bad boys real quick. Oh, you only paid 15%. Guess you don't know how to push that red button, do you?
That's not going to happen. You're right. It's not going to happen. I did think a lot of these attacks on
Mitt Romney. I'm moderate. He tends to lean liberal, just to let you know.
Okay, that's fine. I'm conservative.
Screw conservatives.
No thanks. You're not my
all
type.
All of you.
First of all, you're male. That's kind of a problem. Anyway.
I will ask your Uncle Jerry Sand about.
Oh, that was low.
It was low, kind of like the blows. Never mind.
But the point of all of that being that as much as I don't like Mitt Romney, and as much as I would love for any kind of substantive criticism to come from the Gingrich camp or the Perry camp or the Santorum camp, I've always thought this going after his business record and going after this tax stuff is really nonsensical. I mean, are we really gonna turn on him for that? We didn't like him anyway.
Why do you support Sarah Palin? Why do you like Sarah Palin? She's like a walking whack job. I'm sorry.
A walking whack job.
Like,
as opposed to whack jobs who can't walk.
Good point, because there's a lot.
Are there paraplegic whack jobs?
There's a lot of paraplegic whack jobs that don't pull it off.
I was not aware of that.
No, no, no.
You learn something every day on the queue.
I just hear that, like, you know, you and me went back and forth on Facebook about some Sarah Palin stuff, and I said, hold that for the show.
Okay.
I want to bring it up before we take our next break and our last break.
Okay.
I just don't understand the Sarah Palin love. Like, I'm not against her as a person. Like, I could care less. Like, what you like to do with your life. I don't care where you go for vacation. I don't care about any of all that.
Okay.
Because there's lots of people that do all those things that are super moderate, super liberal, super conservatives, yeah, all over, yeah, the United States. They do all their own thing. Okay. I happen to be moderate. I can't afford vacations for me and my family. And I have one daughter and one wife.
This is turning into the Jerry Lewis telethon.
If I was a conservative.
Won't you please help? Would you please pay for
Mark Bland's vacation? If you get a chance, go to theqnow.com, because theqnow.com is the new website. It's not new. I mean, I've had theqnow.com for a while, but we've revamped the website, and there is a support the show page. You can click on it if you go to theqnow.com. Plus, you can find out all the old episodes, new episodes, everything like that. And they're a lot of fun. As you can tell, we have a lot of fun here on the Q, especially when we get to beat up a pathetic Bruins jersey wearing.
I've been beaten up. I wasn't aware I was beaten up. Anyway, back to your Sarah Palin question. You were wondering what the appeal of Sarah Palin is.
What is the appeal of Sarah Palin to you? Because I don't get it. Like, I see, well, yes, okay, she shoots guns. Okay, people might like that. Okay, what about her policies? Okay. What's her policies?
It's really not very complicated at all.
Sure.
And it has a lot of the genesis in the 2008 election.
Okay.
In the 2008 election, obviously, we didn't like Barack Obama. That's pretty obvious, all right?
He's black. I got it.
No, not because he's black. It's because he's nuts. There's that.
Right. What's now, he done? What's he done wrong?
Gee, there's Obamacare.
Okay. That hasn't happened.
Yeah. He's trying to make it happen.
No. Whoa. Let's stick to the facts. It hasn't happened. No one has been forced to do anything with their health care at all this entire time he has been in office. It has not happened. So to bitch about it and to complain about it and use it as an excuse is wrong.
Did he?
You can't complain about having a broken arm before you actually have a broken arm.
Did he or did he not advocate Obamacare?
He advocated the change of health care and working on that effectively.
Okay.
Whether that
that's
was
enough. That's enough.
What's wrong
even
with
even if it didn't pass, I would be against him for that.
Why?
All right?
Why?
So
what's wrong with trying to help health care? They're all the presidents that you loved before him. Your Bushes, your Bush seniors, your Ronald Reagans, your Clintons, all of them.
Even I love Bill Clinton.
I guarantee you, you got a Richard Nixon mask at home. You probably get naked and you go like this a bunch of times at home every week. Every single week.
No, but I might.
All of them, during their time in office, had entire houses and senates that were working on talking about every single time. Now, he just happened to be the first one to actually truly say, I'm going to try to change this and try to work with it, or I'm going to try to, you know, work on it. And actually go through with it. It was talked about, if you remember, it was talked about during Bill Clinton's time.
Yes.
With his wife. It was talked about during George Bush's time, his first term.
Yeah.
Okay. George Bush Sr. talked about it because it was the fallover from the last term of Ronald Reagan. So this has been talked about a lot, but nobody ever does anything because they're afraid to do something because they think something might happen.
Well, here's what you're missing. There's a difference now in 2011, 2008 that was not there during the 90s or during the 80s or during the 70s.
What's that? Right? People don't like being told what to do?
Well, there's that. But the bigger issue within the Republican Party is this. There has been a generational change within the party. And here's what I mean. To this generation of conservatives, the younger generation, and I'm in my mid-30s, so this is kind of the last place in life I can call myself younger anything. So I'm holding on to it as much as I can.
Sure.
As a younger part of the electorate, a lot of the younger conservatives really don't like the idea of government involvement in much of anything, much less healthcare. Now, you can contrast that to people of my parents' generation who are conservatives. I grew up, as you know, in southern Missouri, very conservative area.
Very conservative.
To the point that for local elections, Democrats didn't even bother running anybody.
Oh, nice.
All right? Now, that being said,
it was rubbing.
Don't touch my threads.
It was rubbing on your mic.
Anyhow.
It was his mic.
Back in the old days.
Yes.
My parents, and not my parents personally, but parents of my conservatives in that generation.
Yep.
Really weren't concerned about the fiscal side of it.
Of course not.
They actually were
Do you know why?
Have you
ever thought about why?
Because they weren't nearly as enlightened as us. But
No. Let me. Can I give you a little minutia?
I would be interested to hear your take on the conservatives of previous generations that you were not.
No, it has nothing to do with being conservative or government at all. It has to do with the fact that people were number one, more generous and kind in general. They were not trying to stick it to each other all the time. They weren't doing everything in their power to, like, change the entire world. They had
not we shouldn't left. Change the world. That just should never happen.
No. But that's where it stands. You see what I'm saying? Like, there was a better grouping of people as far as, like, the way they handled themselves as people.
I actually don't think that's true.
And
I think what has evolved...
The amount of money, there's a lack of greed. So...
You forgot the 1980s. Okay, wow.
No.
Human beings have always been greedy, and they always will.
No. I'm talking about in the 50s and the 40s, the 50s, the 60s.
Oh, they were greedy then, too.
No, there was greed.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But
greedy.
They didn't try to jack you everywhere. You see, they didn't try to jack you at the grocery store, because I've talked about this on the queue, where not only is it that you're now paying an extra $1.50 to $2 a gallon for your ice cream, it's not even a gallon anymore. We're going to raise the price up like you're paying more for a gallon because, well, we have to make more money. I mean, we have to offset our costs and stuff like that. Free market economy, right? All right.
Free market economy.
Free market.
Gotta love it.
But on the backside of that, we're going to give you a little less for what you would have paid for. So we're going to tell you we had to raise the price to offset this. So we should be selling you this $4 gallon of ice cream that used to only cost $1.50. We should be selling it to you for $4 because we need to offset the cost of labor and all that stuff. But on the backside, because we're cheesy little douches and we're trying to screw people over, we're going to raise up $4, and instead of giving you a half gallon like we were supposed to, we're going to give you 5/16 of a gallon. You know,
okay, I have no idea what the ice cream story has to do.
Listen,
with the change in the Republican Party of people not wanting government to do.
Here's what we need to do. We need to take a quick break here on the show, and when we come back, we're going to do our final segment. We'll be back on the queue right after this.
See what we're talking about.
Ah, the good old days. A day where the family would sit around the radio and listen to all their favorite worn-out tunes, cheesy radio host one-liners, and unnecessary minute-by-minute traffic updates. Ah, how the times have changed.
It's time to thank us.
Log on to Facebook right now, type in iWatch Radio, click like, and become a fan to find out about upcoming shows, new features, giveaways, and much more. Kiss the golden radio days goodbye at iWatchRadio.com. The revolution of social media is here. Stream us online at iWatchRadio.com, Facebook, and download our free Android app, iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about.
Welcome back to the queue, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Bland and my buddy. Here, can I put my arm around you? Travis Cook.
I feel like I've been Sandusky'd.
Man, you have been. Well, you know, you do like college football. That's going to happen with college football. Okay, so every week I like to do the letters from the listeners.
Ah.
And I'm glad that you came on the show today, but it's time for us to get out of here on the show. But I want to do one of our quick letters from the listeners before we get out of here on the show.
A letter from one of our...
And this isn't over. This isn't over because I plan on definitely being on your show. Go ahead and plug your show.
Oh, yes. America's Evil Genius. You can see it every week on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, put an extra slash in, and put America's Evil Genius. You'll see all my shows. Next show is going to be this Sunday night. We're going to be talking about the fallout from the South Carolina primary on Saturday.
Am I going to be there? Am I going to be on your show?
We might be able to arrange it.
We'll try to figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll
arrange something.
Letters from the fans real quick. Mark, hey, I noticed your rant on the RFT Web Awards or whatever they call it. I definitely don't think you are getting a nomination anytime soon now. But I think your show is great. I have a simple issue that is really pissing me off. I recently moved into a duplex out in South St. Louis, and I discovered that my new landlords must meet and approve guests of mine before they come over. And guests are not allowed when they are not home or past 11 p.m. I am 25 years old and just moved out of my parents' home to get away from this controlling mother that I have. They own the other half of the duplex, and I am seriously wanting to get out of this lease because they didn't tell me prior to the paperwork being signed. What can I do? Help me. Scott, you. Well, Scott, me and Travis will think about this for a second.
Travis, sounds like the dorms over at Stevens College in Columbia.
Yeah, I don't... you already signed the paperwork. You're kind of like... I would probably get a lawyer on this one. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get a lawyer on this one if you want to get out of the paperwork. Beyond that, I think it is kind of ridiculous that the people that are renting you the duplex have rules that you can't have friends over past 11 p.m. and they can't they have to meet them first, and they can't be there when they're when you're not there. You're 25 years old and you're paying rent to them. They need to just shut their freaking mouths.
It sounds a little ridiculous. Now, I would wonder, too, if those rules were on, in writing before you signed the lease. Maybe you should have looked at that. But nevertheless, would I put those rules in a lease like that? No. Would I sign a lease somewhere that had that rule? No. But I guess the rules are the rules. You're going to have a lawyer to get out of it, though.
Yeah, you're going to have to definitely get a lawyer. Okay. So, basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I just want to wish Travis Cook, thank you so much. Thank
you so much, sir. Glad to be here.
I think we had some fun. We really didn't talk about anything and get down to the nitty-gritty of anything, really.
Yeah, we only had an hour.
Yeah, we only had an hour, and not even at that. Basically, I just want to thank you for joining me. Also, iWatch Radio for hosting the show. Thank you very much, iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about. That's where you can watch the show every single Wednesday night, live if you're listening to the podcast, or nationally on your radio, or you downloaded it on Stitcher.com, the Stitcher Radio app. Don't call into the numbers, and definitely you've already listened to the show, so you're probably not listening to it live, but thank you very much for that. Also, go to theqnow.com. We've revamped the site, and it is now a one-stop place for all new and old episodes, information on myself, this show, and where you can contact us any single time at all. So check out the brand new theqnow.com. That's where you need to go. And a special shout-out to Dan Kirby, who helped reinvent the Q's website. Please check out his website also, stlsoldout.com. That is stlsoldout.com. Travis, thank you so much. I'm going to be on. Go ahead. One last plug for yourself, man.
Real Travis Cook at Twitter. You can follow me on there. Follow me at Real Travis Cook. I'll give you updates for everything I'm doing.
Yeah, and it's not going to be hard to figure it out because he's just going to be doing douchey ramblings about conservative crap. So there he'll be doing that.
We call that political analysis.
All right. We'll be back next time on The Cube.